I love the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a person in the congregation that sent me an email last week, and the email was entitled, Life in Today's Church. And in that email, there were a number of cartoons about the church in the 21st century. And as I read through those cartoons, some of the cartoons reminded me that things are really changing in the church. And other of those cartoons reminded me that many things are not changing at all. They're just the same as they were for many, many years. Well, one that showed things are changing in the church depicted an older lady talking on the telephone, and she complains, they're putting choruses in the hymn books, and they're putting hymns on the overhead screen, and it's getting so I can't even remember what I'm not supposed to like. Another showed a group of people leaving a church, and two men, and the one man was talking with the other man, who was obviously a first-time visitor. And he says to that man, he says, well, that was our contemporary service. That's followed by our traditional service, which is followed by our classical service, which is followed by our casual service with a sports emphasis. And I thought, you know what? Boy, things have changed in the church, haven't they? Those of you that have been around the church. But I still love Christ Church. Amen. I really do. And there are some things that never change. In one of the other cartoons, it showed two people seated comfortably in a pew with an older couple glaring down at them. And the caption read, the whole church watched with nervous anticipation as the visitors sat where the Martins have sat for the last 42 years. You know, some things never change. Another one, the last one I'll share with you, shows a church board meeting. And I've been pastor for now full-time 34 years. I know why they call them board meetings. But it showed a church board meeting with a group of men sitting around a table with smug grins on their face. And one says to the group, whatever we decide about the pastor's salary, let's keep in mind all those sermons he preached last year on the simple lifestyle. Some things never change. But you know what? I love Christ Church. I love Christ Church. Today, I want to direct our attention to some thoughts about the church. So would you take your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. And in the book of Romans, let me just review quickly. But you remember in chapters 1 through 320, we took a look at the doctrine of sin. And basically it teaches us, man, we are all fundamentally flawed, every one of us. But then in 321 through chapter 5, it talks about salvation, God's solution to that problem. Then in chapter 6 through 8, it talks about sanctification, growing in Jesus Christ. Then in chapters 9 through 11, we talked about the sovereignty of God. And then in chapters 12 through chapter 15, we talked about service. And I thought about that. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, and service. Isn't it nice the Holy Spirit made it like that so we could have all S's? Well, we reached chapter 16 and the salutation. Paul's final greetings to the church. And in these verses 1 through 16, we learn much about the church of Jesus Christ. I want to read those verses now. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert in Christ to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphiletus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. And Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyntychus, Philegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologos and Julia, Narissus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, in those verses, again, a lot about the church, Christ's church. And today, I want to just share with you four wonderful truths about God's wonderful church. Number one, the church is a group of people. The church is a group of people, not a building. Amen? Not a building. Today, a lot we associate the church with a building. And I thought about this. You know, I have had, and my wife has had, many opportunities to be in famous church buildings. When we visited Bethlehem, we were in the Church of the Nativity. And that church supposedly, according to tradition, was built right over the spot where Jesus was born. We were in that church. When we went to Jerusalem, we came down and we visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which was built supposedly over the place where Jesus was laid in the tomb. Famous church buildings. Then here in the United States, we've been around, and I like to go to different churches. When we went to Jamestown, we went to the little church there in Jamestown, a replica of supposedly what the church was like there in Jamestown. Up in Plymouth, we've gone to the Plymouth Colony and to that church. And up in Boston, we've gone to the Old North Church, you know, with the lanterns. You remember Paul Revere's ride? We've been in those churches, church buildings. And we several of us here in the church have gone to Chicago, and we have been in the famous Moody Bible Church. And I got to stand behind that pulpit, and one of the brothers here in the church took a picture of me behind Moody Bible Church pulpit. I think we're getting a call from heaven. Yes, Lord, I'll tell them. And here I was, turn off all electrical devices, or turn your all your phones on stun right now. Go ahead. Behind Moody Bible Church pulpit. And you know, I've been in another famous church building. It's located at 126 West Overdale Drive. Faith Bible Fellowship. Amen. Famous church building. But you know what? They're just church buildings. They're not the church. Amen? Amen? The church building is not the church. In these 16 verses, folks, you can count them, there are 27 individual people mentioned by name. By name. This teaches us that the church is made up of people. It's made up of people. In fact, in verse 5, look at verse 5. Paul tells them to greet the church that is in their house. Now, he wasn't talking about a building, right? When you came in today, none of you, not one of you, I'll bet, not one of you came up, walked up to the door and looked at the building and said, "Hi, church!" Anybody do that? Good, good. I'm going to call for the little men in the white jackets if you did that. The building is not the church. The church met in fact, he says, in the house. You know what that reminds us? That the first two centuries, actually all the way up into the third century, they didn't have any church buildings. They met in homes, or they met outside. They didn't have church buildings. The building is not the church. This is important to remember, folks, especially, listen, and I think we're going to give you a report either next week or the week after. We're planning to build now. And I think you can see with the children that we have and with the sanctuary getting filled up that we need to build. We're going to have a new, Lord willing, a new CE building and a new sanctuary and building. But that's not the church. And we better not get our eyes off the fact and get our eyes on building. We're not in the business of building buildings. That's not the church. We need to remember that. The church is a group of people, not a building. A group of people all unique and different. All unique. Can I have, amen? Look around you. Look around right now. Look at the person beside you. Well, another way. Funny looking, huh? No, different. They're all different. I'm looking at nobody the same. All different, all unique. And you know, it was like that in the Church of Rome. Now, I'm going to share some things with you. And these are based on, some of them are based on assumptions. But I think they could be true. There were different nationalities in the church at Rome. Now, I know there were different nationalities, but there were Romans, there were Jews, and I think there were Greeks. Because the Andronicus in verse 7, that's a Greek name. Amphus in verse 8, that's a Roman name. Apelles in verse 10, that's a Jewish name. They had Jews, Romans, and Greeks, different nationalities. They had different social statuses. There were a few that were very prominent. Verse 10, Aristobulus. Now here's an assumption, but they think this guy was the grandson of Herod the Great, and he was a friend of Claudius Caesar. He was high in the social status, but there's also a lot of people that were of a lower class. There were names here, such as Hermas and Hermes and Urbanus and Philologos. Those were all names of slaves. Those were slave names. So you might have an upper class and the lower, kind of lower class. There were different economic situations. There were some people that were well off in this church, Prisca and Aquila. They were successful business people. They owned their own house. But as I just mentioned, there were slaves that didn't own anything. So you had some that had some money, some that were poorer. You had different, possibly ethnic backgrounds. Maybe most of the people were Caucasian. But there's one person mentioned by name. His name was Rufus. And now, again, assumptions here. But in Mark chapter 15, you remember when Jesus was going to the cross, he fell, and they chose somebody to carry Jesus' cross. His name was Simon of Cyrene. It's very interesting. In Mark 15, it tells what his son's name was, or two of his sons. One of his sons was named Rufus. And Mark, that gospel was sent to the Romans. It was written to the Romans. And so some think that this Rufus might have been the son of Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is in northern Africa. And many believe that Simon of Cyrene that carried Jesus' cross was a black man. Now, we don't know that. But I can tell you this. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of red and yellow, black and white and brown. They're all precious in God's sight. I'll tell you, it's a shame, but the greatest segregated hour of the week is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I wish we had more ethnic backgrounds in this church. But the church, all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. Here they had different genders. Most of the people mentioned were men, but eight of them at least were women. Phoebe, Prisca, Mary, Junia, Tryphena, which means delicate, Tryphosa, which means dainty. They think they might have been twins. Delicate and dainty. Carl. And Priscus and Julia. Eight women. So the church is men and women. Diverse. I'll tell you. Folks, this is what makes the church so beautiful. All kinds of people, from all kinds of positions in life, from all kinds of backgrounds, and yet coming together in one body called the church. Just think what it would be like if everybody in this church was like Pastor Les. A perfect church. Yeah, right. Boring! And just think if everybody was like you. Oh, boring! No, that's not the church. The church is made up of, it's a group of people, not a building. All unique and different from each other. But I'll tell you, they have something in common. They're all in Christ. All individuals. And did you notice that phrase in Christ in those 16 verses? In Christ Jesus, in the Lord. It's mentioned verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and two times in verse 12. All in Christ. The church is composed of saved individuals. They're in Christ. You see, people that come to an understanding that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. And they come in faith and they say, Christ, save me. Come into my heart. And Christ comes into their heart. And then he places them into the body of Christ. They're in Christ. Christ is in us. Wait a second. Is Christ in us or are we in Christ? Well, is the water in the fish or is the fish in the water? Is the bird in the air or is the air in the bird? Yes. We are. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. You see, the church is a group of individuals, not a building, all different, all kinds of unique talents and different, but all who are saved. And the church, it's important to know this, that because you come to church doesn't make you a part of the church. You can go to church all your life and not be a part of the church. Church membership doesn't make you a part of the church. You can be a member of a church all your life and not be a part of the church unless you've accepted Christ. And I tell you, when you receive Christ, you become a part of his wonderful church. Individuals, all in Christ, all saved. And I'm going to tell you, individuals, all important to God. I want you to know that. I want you to go away today knowing this and sensing this. Paul lists 27 individuals. Listen, he addresses them all by name. All by name. That's amazing. You know why that's so amazing? Paul never he was never in that church. When he wrote this, he hadn't visited the church yet. Can you imagine that? And yet he knew the names at least 27 individuals in that church. Names, individuals were important to Paul. And people and names are important to God. Folks, this is amazing. You are important to God. Now, I think of that. I think it just goes to the psalmist, don't you? What is man? What am I that thou art mindful of me? Or the son of man that you take note of me? But he does. You are important to God. In fact, you're so important to God, he knows your name. Jesus Christ said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name. Did you know that? He knows my name. He knows your name. He calls you by name. You are important to God. I don't get it, but I'm important to God. Let me ask you this. Are people important to you? Are they important enough to you and to me to learn their name? I know. I say, oh boy, I'll tell you. I can meet somebody and they tell me their name, and 5 seconds later, this is no lie, I couldn't tell you what their name was. Do you ever do that? No, you never do that. We have to care about each other enough to know our names. See, the church is a group of people, not a building. Group of people all unique and all different, but we have one thing in common. We know the Lord, and we're important to God. I love Christ Church. Secondly, the church is a group of people, here it is, under construction. Can you say amen? Amen. Under construction. Now, the word church is the word ecclesia. It's used in verses 1, 4, 5, and 16. It's composed of two actual words, ek and kaleo. It means ek is out of. Kaleo means to call. We are a group of called out ones. We have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We have been called out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. We're called out ones. The individuals of the church are called saints. Verse 2 and verse 15. See, in verse 2, it says there that they should receive Phoebe in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. And then down in verse 15, it says, all the saints who are with them, greet them, and all the saints. Individual Christians are called saints. And we learned that word last week, didn't we? That word saint means holy one. And according to the Bible, every true Christian is a saint in two ways. First of all, we are a saint in position. Saint in position. Folks, what that means is, another way of saying that is, we are saints by calling. By calling. Back in the first chapter, in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 7, Paul wrote, to all those who are beloved in Rome, called as saints. Called as saints. And again, when we receive Christ, God declares us righteous, and he sees us in Christ. Our position, listen to this, this is good. Our position before God now, we are holy and righteous in Christ. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm glad. I look at myself and I'm like, really? Yeah. You're holy and righteous in Christ. We are saints by calling. We have a holy position before the Lord. And we should always remember this. Now, Paul, folks, listen, when he would write even the worst churches, he would never say, you are so bad, now get right. You know what he'd say? You know what he says in his letters? You are saints. You're holy. You're saints. Be what you are. Did you hear that? Yes, You're holy. Be what you are. I remember Charles Stanley. I listened to a sermon of his. And I remember him saying this. He said, you know what? So much of the time we say this. We're saved sinners. We're just a bunch of saved sinners. And he said, that's true. But you know what? We need to remember that, yeah, we're saved sinners. We're saved saints. We are saved saints. We are holy ones. Be what you are. Be what you are. Be what you are. We're holy ones. We're saints in position. But secondly, we're also saints in process. We're saints in process. You see, in other words, I don't want to disappoint anybody here, but none of us have arrived. You haven't. None of us in practice is perfect. Not even close. I hear all those amens in your hearts. You know it's true. Not even close. We're saints in process. You see, Paul admitted it, didn't he? In Philippians 3. You remember what he wrote there? He said this. He said, not that I've arrived. Not that I've already become perfect. But forgetting what lies behind, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the high upward call of God. Paul said, I'm a saint in process. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived there yet. No one's perfect. It was C.H. Spurgeon, I think, that first said it. He said, listen, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. And that's true. Amen? Therefore, since we are saints in process, under construction, what does that mean? You know what that means? It means that we have to practice patience with each other. It reminds me of the bumper sticker. Remember the bumper sticker, Pajimininimi? I said that right. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. So you know what? In the church, we've got to be patient. Just like in the family, right? You got to practice patience with one another. Because nobody's perfect. It means we have to forbear one another. Did you ever wonder in Scripture why it says over and over again, forbear one another. Bear ye with one another. Because we're not perfect. Forbear one another. If anybody has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Put on a heart of compassion and mercy and grace and kindness, and above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Why does he say that? Because I'll tell you what, that's got to be practiced in the church, because we're saints in process. We're under construction. We haven't arrived yet, and we're going to have a lot of love in this church and a lot of forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive me as pastor. I'm going to have to forgive you. We're going to have to bear with one another. We're going to have to be patient because we're saints under construction. It's kind of like what Ruth Graham told Billy Graham, that his late wife Ruth, they were driving down the road and they came to construction area, all the orange barrels, and it was for several miles, and traffic was bumper to bumper and stop and go for several miles, and they got to the end of the orange barrels and there was a big sign, and the sign read, end of construction, thanks for being patient. And she turned to her husband, Billy, and said, Billy, I want that on my tombstone. Amen. End of construction. Thanks for being patient. Now, again, I don't know if he put it on her tombstone or not, but that's supposedly what she told her husband. Because we are saints under construction. And we have to practice patience and kindness and love with each other. The church is a group of people. The church is a group of people under construction. Number three, the church is a group of people under construction working and struggling together. Working and struggling together. First of all, working. Note in the text all the references to work and service. If you look at the chapter begins mentioning Phoebe, who was a servant, a diaconon, a deacon in the church of Cenchrea. She was the one who delivered this letter from Paul to the church in Rome, verses 1 and 2. Then in verse 3, Prisca and Aquila, they're called fellow workers. Then in verse 6, Mary worked hard for you. Verse 9, Urbanus is dubbed a fellow worker. Verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa were workers in the Lord, and Persis worked hard in the Lord. The church is a group of workers. We are not saved to sit, as I look out at all of you. But we're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. There are to be no bench warmers, pew sitters in the church. Everybody is to work and serve the Lord. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul wrote, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We are a group of people that are workers. Are you serving the Lord? If you're not, see me, we'll get you a job in the church. Or if you're not, we'll get you serving the Lord somewhere. It's important. We're workers. Struggling. We are fellow strugglers. Now, our struggle is not with each other. You know, that's what the devil wants us to do. Struggle with each other. But our struggle is not with each other. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Our struggle, listen, you can look at anybody in this church, I'm going to tell you what, everybody's fighting a battle. You might think, boy, I wish I was so-and-so. They have it so good. And I've just been to their house. You don't want to be so-and-so. We are struggling. But we're not to struggle with each other. We're to help one another in the struggle. Amen? And what he gives an example here. In verse 3, he says, Prisca and Aquila, when Paul was struggling, look what they did. They risked their own necks for his life. Literally, they placed their necks under. That's what the Greek says. They placed their necks under the axe. They put their life on the line for their brother in the Lord. When he was struggling, they entered the battle to help him. Then if you go down again and you look down in verse 7, it mentions Andronicus and Junius, who are my fellow prisoners. One commentator says perhaps they had shared one of Paul's numerous imprisonments. Maybe they had shared a jail cell with the Apostle Paul. But I'll tell you what, they were in the battle. And they were there with him in his imprisonment. Folks, we all are fighting battles. So therefore, when you deal with people in the church, be a little kinder than maybe you would like to be. Be a little bit more sympathetic. You don't know what that person is going through. Amen? Amen. They don't know what you're going through. You don't know what they're going through. But let's help each other in the struggle. Amen? We got to help each other. We got to pray for one another. There's nobody perfect, and we're all in the battle. And we're all in the battle together, working and struggling together. And again, did you notice the word fellow in the text? Verse 3, verse 9, fellow worker. Verse 7, fellow prisoner. We're together, folks. We're together. We need each other. We need to be together in Christian fellowship and to share the life together. We need to share the good times. We need to share the work. We need to share the struggles. And I'll tell you, as we speed, breakneck speed toward the coming of Christ, we're going to need each other more. In these end age days, I'll tell you, we need the church. We need each other. I'll tell you, in these days, people are giving up on the church. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I don't need to go. I can be a Christian, don't go to church. I'll tell you what, we need the church. We need to be together. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as is a manner of some, but come together and stimulate one another unto love and good deeds, especially as you see the day drawing nigh. Is Christ coming? He is. I don't know when, but he's coming. And as we approach that day, we need the church. Amen. We need each other, and we need to help each other in the struggle. We need to work and serve together. For the church is a group of people under construction, a group of people working and struggling together. And number four, the church is a group of people under construction, working and struggling together, thriving in a loving family relationship. That's the church. Did you notice the terms of endearment in this text? Verse 5, verse 8, verse 9, verse 12, he calls them my beloved. Down in verse 16, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. These are terms of endearment. How do you view people in the church? The people you are sitting beside in the pew, do we see each other as beloved blessings and treat each other that way? He said, my beloved. I love these people. And then there's the terms of family. The terms of family. In verse 1, Phoebe is called our sister Phoebe. That's a spiritual sister. In verse 13, Paul refers to Rufus' mother as his mother. She's his mother and mine. That wasn't his literal mother. That was his spiritual mom. She had maternally taken Paul probably under her wing. And she says, she's my mom. She's my mom in the Lord. In verse 14, Paul speaks of five men and the brethren with them. The brethren. The church is a band of brothers. And then there's the word kinsmen in verse 7 and 11. Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen. Herodian, my kinsmen. The term kinsmen, you know what the term kinsmen means? It means of the same kin, of the same race, a fellow countryman, related by blood. Folks, listen. We're the church. We are of the same kin. We are fellow countrymen. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to the same country. And we're related by blood. Amen. Hear me. We're related by blood. And blood is thicker than water. Amen. Wow. This is God's wonderful church. And I'll tell you, you talk about unity. I know, we're family, right? We're a family. We're a family. And what do families do? Yeah, they fight. That's right. But you know what? And it's true. It's true. But blood is thicker than water. And we need to diligently maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the church. Yes. Satan wants us to fight. God wants us, yeah, to fight. Fight the devil. Fight our own flesh. Yes. But we're to get along. We're to live and thrive in a loving family relationship. Because you know what? You're my brother. You're my sister. I have moms in this church that look over, watch over Pastor Les. Tell me when I get off base, and you know how moms do. I have fathers. We're the family of God. Amen? I love Christ Church. I'm so glad I am a part of the family of God. Aren't you? If you are not a part of the family of God, why don't you come and join the family? Do you ever accept Christ? If you haven't, why not accept him today? Your sins are forgiven. You're given eternal life, a relationship that will last throughout all eternity with Jesus, and you can come and join the family. Amen. Why not accept him today? Well, we're going to close. Bill Gaither wrote a song, and I was familiar with pretty much with the chorus. It's called The Family of God. But I want to read this song to you. Listen to this. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but thank God I belong. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I love Christ Church. Amen. Hope you do too. Let's pray.